Welcome back to the Hot Pass Podcast. Daytona 500 weekend is over. A little bit of a lackluster weekend when it comes to no gambling, but I mean just the racing and the finishes and all the drama that we had. And once again, we dive into NASCAR season and we are already complaining. So that's the NASCAR community. We're never truly satisfied and it will continue forever. But at the same time, sometimes it's warranted. So let's get into the podcast. Welcome to the Hot Pass Podcast. The podcast is available every Tuesday and Friday at 5 a.m. Eastern. Tuesday recap shows, interviews, whatever. And then Fridays at 5 a.m. Eastern are always the betting shows. All right. You can find me at furlongeric__ on all social media platforms. That's X, Instagram, and TikTok at furlongeric__. All right. And then go to the Hot Pass Podcast on YouTube. Like, share, subscribe to the podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you find them, on Spotify, Apple, wherever. Make sure to leave a 5-star review. Always helps out with the podcast. Be able to get more listeners. As well as go to the Hot Pass Podcast on, go to the Action Network. Link is in the bio wherever you find me on my social medias. And check out the Cup Series bets as well as the Xfinity and Truck Series bets are always exclusive to the Friday morning betting shows. Kind of all over the place with this intro, but the Xfinity and Trucks are always exclusive to the Friday morning betting show. And if you want all the early picks, you have to listen to that show. So let's dive in to the weekend. Long week, wasn't it, at Speed Week? Beautiful weather all week. And then obviously Sunday, Trump comes and he curses us with rain again, just like the Coke 600. If you guys were there, you understood. And I mean, everybody here was at least either there or watching the race and the bullshit of them calling the race. So every time Trump shows up, the shit rains, dog. Shouts out Trump, but let's just not show up to races, please. Also, we'll get into the chaos of people not being able to get into the race and everything like that as well. What was it? Thursday, the duels. Shouts out. Hey. Y'all know we love Bubba around these parts. Personally, love that guy. Great guy. Don't care about if you hate him or not. If you've ever met him, don't know how you could hate him. Okay? Bubba Wallace wins duel number one. I ended up only taking one little flyer on that race, and it was 12-1. I kept it to myself, and we hit it. So, shouts out to Bubba Wallace. Huge win, man. Having the new crew chief coming from Christian Eckes's team in the Truck Series coming up, taking over Booty Baker or Booty Barker, whatever his name is, or last name is, in the Cup Series now, and starting off with a win. I already said on my social media that dad energy. I think I said it on here as well that when you become a father, you can change yourself a lot. You're fighting for something greater than yourself. You see it with UFC fighters if you watch MMA at all. Like when they become a father or a parent, you are fighting for your family and your children, and it makes you like hungrier, become more smarter, more mature. And I think we can see that with Bubba, and you know, getting that win off his back, and then obviously the fucking holding his child up in the air. That was a beautiful moment, man. Beautiful moment. I expect great things. Bubba Wallace, I think my brother's going to come on a special episode. Hopefully tomorrow. We did end up recording the podcast today at the on Monday. But hopefully he's got a lot of snow up where he's supposed to be working and all the roads are closed. So I think he might be staying home tomorrow, or I guess today at the time of you guys listening to this. So, we might have a special episode come out on Wednesday morning for you guys, kind of breaking down what my brother thought of the entire weekend as well as, the upcoming season. He's a big Bubba fan, so you're going to get a lot of hot takes on the Bubba train and a couple other drivers. So, just huge for Bubba getting that monkey off his back and heading in the right direction. And, excited to see what comes of it. So what I was saying there was my brother ended up telling me that He started off with a bunch of top fives in a row at the beginning of last year. So getting a win, yeah, it doesn't count to the regular season, but having that feeling again of being in the in victory lane and being able to hand a trophy to Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin, and that tent. If you guys saw the video of that Bubba Wallace shared of him bringing the trophy to Michael Jordan in this extravagant tent, dog. You already know he ain't camping there, dog. But that's just him to chill to watch basketball games. Holy fuck, dog. Unreal, man. That is some wealth, okay? We're out here scrounging up pennies. Like Corey LaJoy. Fucking bum. Anyways, yeah, so very excited to see. I think Bubba is probably going to do well at Phoenix. Coda, obviously not his forte, but then we're going to end up getting into like Martinsville's and stuff like that. And I think Bubba is going to really show everybody what he can do. And you never know. He's been tuning it up or turning it up at road courses in the past couple of, at least a year or two. So, yeah, very excited to see what Bubba has to say or what he's going to do. But anyways, and then we dive on to the second dual race. And obviously not as chaotic as the first one. There was a lot of shit going on in that race, and it was exciting. Justin Allgaier getting in. I didn't even talk about that. But Justin Allgaier getting in is fantastic for NASCAR in general, as well as, you know, Allgaier and Junior Motorsports. Just it's a greater chance for us to be able to see them more. I honestly think it'll probably be at more like a short track rather than a mile and a half. It's very competitive at mile and a half with the speed. And I just feel like, with Dale Jr., we'll get to the second dual race here in a second, but Dale Jr. with the history he had at like races like Bristol, you know, Martinsville's or shit like that. Any sort of like short track, definitely Bristol. I feel like we're going to see him in Bristol. It just makes sense. He races, Dale Jr. races maybe on the Friday night in the Xfinity Series or something like that. And then you get Allgaier racing on Saturday on that fall race in a Junior Motorsports car. I wouldn't mind that, dog. Just, I think we're going to see them in races where, like, kind of like how Dale Jr. picks it in the Xfinity Series, tracks that he really enjoys racing at. And just wants to be able to see the history of his name in the Cup Series at certain specific tracks that he loves so dearly. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him at Bristol later on this year. Remember that, tag that, clip it. Shouts out Dale Jr. Yeah, so second dual race. Obviously not as chaotic. And the story that began the weekend, the call of that caution. So we obviously saw Eric Jones won that shit. Called the caution while everybody's wrecking behind them. Kind of questionable. But while doing research for you guys for the Friday morning betting show this coming Friday, for Atlanta, I watched the fall race of Atlanta, and they called a caution wrecking off of turn four. Everybody that was leading the race was clean, and Joey Logano wins under caution. Now, Joey Logano was going to win the race anyways, but we call the caution. So it's a continuous thing that we do here. The inconsistencies we saw it all the way through the weekend with the Truck Series and Xfinity, and then all of a sudden, when it comes to Sunday, the Cup Series are like, oh, we've been fucked all, we fucked everybody all weekend, and everybody was miserable, let's just let them race back to the green. Okay, guys, you can't just be picking and choosing here, and the level of inconsistency, I think we need to put in a rule somewhere. We need to have just some sort of level of consistency of what's a caution, when is it, so on and so forth. I mean, the biggest one last year was Kyle Larson at Indianapolis there. Them not blowing or waving the caution flag until he passes the fucking start-finish line and takes the white flag. You had the whole lap. It's not a small track at Indy. So, I mean, it's a consistent thing that we will. It's never going to be perfect. But, I mean, we need some sort of consistency here. Is it the level of, like, the trust that they don't have in the trucks in Xfinity? Because you can't even make that argument because you literally called the caution in the Cup Series, the premiere of the sport on the second dual race. So, I mean, now when it comes to Xfinity and the caution there, they were a lot closer to the start-finish line than when the wreck happened with Erik Jones and Austin Cindric, but they were real quick on fucking pulling the trigger on that. They saw Justin Allgaier wreck it, and you couldn't have just had your finger over that. Now, we'll get to the Xfinity on the Saturday or whatever, but just the level of inconsistency, man, like, robbed Erik Jones of having that feel-good story. The Toyota's back in, back-to-back, and then I think, Tyler Reddick and Christopher Bell ended up winning both duels, I think, last year. So Toyota would have swept 2 years in a row the duels, and Erik Jones gets absolutely robbed. It was awkward. Everything about it was just awkward. Why wouldn't you let them race to the line? I don't understand, and I don't think we ever will. So we'll just move on from that. It's kind of been beaten to death or whatever the entire weekend. So, yeah, anyways, what else? Friday, Truck Series. Did anything else happen during the day? No. I mean, they had, like, lots of practice. Oh, we didn't even talk about Chase Briscoe getting qualified, like, the fucking pole on Wednesday, dog. I'll just mention, what the fuck was that? We saw one person have, like, 60-1 or whatever on Chase Briscoe. What a flyer. Wouldn't say I knew it. It's shit like that. When you win shit like that, you're going, well, you can't really say you knew it because the odds are stacked against you, and you just toss 10, 20 bucks or whatever on that. Come on. Anyways, or whatever his odds were to win the poll. Let me get a sip of water here. Just a random ass flyer. Anyways, Truck Series. If you had money on Tyler Ankrum, God help your soul for ever betting on that guy. Just lots of money from Lowena, Carpenters Union or whatever it is, backing him all the time. But hope that money dries up real soon. That guy ain't ever gonna win a race. I'll call that out right now. Get somebody else with a little bit more talent in there. But that none of that was his fault. Ends up blowing a tire or whatever it was. You know, the truck race, man. Obviously, Johnny Sauter, I think, was probably going to win that race. We ended up picking him. We ended up picking out Parker Kligerman. I think the gist of that race was, obviously, the trucks are always going to truck, but it was actually a decent race. I really thought that was a good, fun race. You know, Parker Kligerman with the disqualification. Let me just point out one thing before I forget about it that was happened on Sunday is the most odd William Byron slam into the wall with his left front. Do you think he cheated? I don't know if you guys saw that video, but go hunt that down. While William Byron was celebrating and he was doing burnouts, he just all of a sudden randomly wasn't doing a burnout and just drove his left front nose into the wall and then continued to do a celebration, no problem. Because of the topic of disqualifications, I feel like that saved his ass a little bit. And I'm not going to get conspiracy. But the stuff with Parker Kligerman, man, and I have to admit, I've never met the guy. I don't really like him. Obviously, on the betting side, he's kind of ruined a lot of stuff. He does act, I mean, there's spoiled brats out there in the NASCAR world, but he isn't one of them. He's had to work really hard to be able to get rides and took off years and but does kind of get heated. And I'm not going to lie. It's in a regular day. I get heated too. Just kind of rubs me the wrong way. He was great on the CW broadcast. Was hoping I was kind of miserable leading up to this year that I was going to be like, oh my God, I got to listen to Parker Kligerman all the time now, but he was fantastic on that. Kind of changing my my outlook on Parker Kligerman. I mean, as well as some of my friends are with Joey Logano, but that stupid smile, I just can't get rid of it. But Parker Kligerman, man, I mean, I was low-key happy when the caution came out, and it should have been called. Should have been called at Charlotte. Anyways, they just waited so long and then fucking screwed him. So, and Sam Mayer had money on him, and I'm good acquaintances and good friends. I wouldn't say like really good friends, but good acquaintances with Sam Mayer. And I was happy. Shouts out Sam Mayer. Love that boy. And I mean, that one I had an argument behind. I had it on my social media. And I made an argument. I even had his lady or whatever fucking messaging me and snapping back at me and all this shit or whatever, but too bad, so sad on that one. This one, on the other hand, won it fair and square, and I guess just didn't burn out his tires enough. I think that's what we're all kind of just talking about. Like, that's what we've all kind of agreed upon, that's why everybody just burns the rubber to the ground. Yeah, it looks cool and it's cool to do a big burnout, but maybe that's what they tell everybody. And like, Parker Kligerman doesn't win enough to be able, or basically ever, to really know that. Is it kind of just like an unwritten rule in the NASCAR world that you should burn your shit down to the ground after? And I feel horrible for him, man. I think he won the race. We keep it at that. Corey Heim, that shit don't count. He'll win. Corey Heim's going to win races. But I don't, it's the same thing as at least Jesse Love in the Xfinity Series led laps and deserved the win, right? William Byron, back-to-back Daytona 500 winner, didn't deserve the win, did literally nothing all day on Sunday. Excuse me. On Sunday. And Parker, on the other hand, did all the work in the world, and Corey Heim literally does nothing all day and then goes and accepts the win. I use a good example of like people going, I don't really deserve the win. Like, we all look at them as like they don't deserve the win, and then they go and start flexing like, I want a Daytona, ha ha ha, bam, boom, boom, boom. Is if you guys ever watch UFC, it's when Aljamain Sterling versus Piotr Jan first fought each other. Go back and look at it. When Aljamain Sterling won the belt from Piotr Jan, Piotr Jan ended up giving Aljamain Sterling an illegal knee to the head when he was kneeling down on the ground. And Aljo originally was like, what? I didn't want to win the belt. And then he ends up acting like, I fucking won the belt outright. Fuck you. Ha ha ha. And the Corey Heim kind of going to victory lane and accept that. I understand. Because you won it. But in my eyes, I'm like, he was acting, you know what I got to do? I actually kind of have to backtrack on that. I do give it to Corey Heim. He didn't really like celebrate. But like, I don't know, if I understand that the social media teams for sponsorships and stuff, you do have to post out on social media. But if we keep hearing all year about like Corey Heim won the Daytona race, Corey Heim, like Daytona right behind his name, it's going to start pissing some people off because you obviously didn't deserve that. So Corey Heim, I think the biggest thing for him is go out, get a win fair and square right away, and then just quiet all the noise. Maybe the noise is just coming from my corner. But if we continue to hear it, if he goes all, like a couple of months without winning a race, which I think is absurd. I don't think that's going to happen. But he does have a lot of competition against him, so it's going to be a lot harder this year to win a race. But if he goes a while, kind of like Zane Smith 2 years ago, winning at the beginning of the year and then kind of just floats his way into the playoffs and not really doing anything, and everybody else winning races, there's going to be a lot of noise coming on him. We'll see. Parker Kligerman, I feel bad for you, man. That one really sucked. Saturday must have been rough when everybody was talking about it. Anyways, let's move to Saturday. Obviously, ARCA race. My boy Kyle Steckley was racing in the race, and we all saw what Amber Balkan did to Cletus McFarland, Kyle Steckley, and a bunch of other drivers. And I said my piece on Instagram. Follow me at @FurlongEric_ on there and saw my story. And I mean, even on my ex too, I harped at her as well. And I tagged her on my Instagram stories but it wasn't the Cletus stuff. I had nothing to do with the Cletus stuff. Obviously when you have a big following on social media and a bunch of fucking rednecks out there following Cletus, you're going to get ripped on. It was bound to happen. It just so happened to be Amber. But for me personally, I called her out on the Kyle Steckley stuff. Full on wrecked the guy. Not being able to hold the bottom and turns herself right in front of Kyle and takes Kyle out on like lap 15 or something like that. And she deserved every last bit of all I said was, are you fucking dumb? How can you not hold the bottom? You shouldn't be racing at Daytona or any track if you just can't hold that bottom yellow line without coming up and losing it. And she wasn't the only one. It happened a lot all weekend in the truck series as well and stuff. But like, you shouldn't be racing. Tony Breitinger, rookie in the truck series, I can understand. She's only raced like what, twice on a big track like that, like Daytona. I think she ended up doing it in the ARCA series as well. But so you have a limit. But Amber's been around for a while racing on these tracks, a couple of years now. You should have this shit nailed. So I said my piece. And I'll leave it at that. But that ARCA race was a shit show. Shouts out to Butterbean Queen for winning. Kind of a PR nightmare for Chili's. Him taking it to Waffle House. The trophy to Waffle House? Oh, no. I wonder, somebody must have at some point whispered in his ear like, hey man, you can't take it to Waffle House. And he said, fuck that. And as a Canadian, we don't have Waffle House up here. And when I go to Waffle House down in the South... and me being at the Atlanta race this coming weekend, you bet your ass at some point I will be hitting up a Waffle House, whether it's in the middle of the night, super early in the morning, or middle of the day. Your boy is getting his ass into a Waffle House. I just like get a nice regular breakfast. I just love how it's fast and the how chaotic it is in there all the time. So shouts out to Butterbean Queen for bringing it there, saying fuck you to Chili's. We don't have Chili's up here in Canada, so... unless you want to start building them up here or treat me to a nice meal there, Chili's, I will talk shit. Xfinity race. As you guys already know on my social media, after that Justin Allgaier just clearing himself kind of the end of that race, I ended up having all my picks finish 2nd to 7th. So, yeah, you heard that right. So when that caution came out, it took a few hours, probably till the morning. I had to sleep it off. I was fucking heated. Talk about a bad beat when it comes to calling out some picks. Some of them I didn't put money on. Some others I did. I said I wasn't going to bet much on the race, so it wasn't like a big loss. But I was just like... you got to be shitting me. Jesse Love, like all my guys are right behind him. The main four guys was Sam Mayer, Sheldon Creed, Taylor Gray, and who else was there? I can't remember off the top of my head, but sitting duck. He was a sitting duck. And I mean, at the same time, happy for Jesse Love. If you're a Sheldon Creed fan, like my brother, kind of got to be pissed off that the number two is getting in victory lane. And Sheldon Creed could never do it. But the thing is, at the same time, RCR has been very good on super speedways. And Austin Hill has won at Daytona a bunch. So we're not shocked that Jesse Love won. But Austin Hill winning at the end of last year, and Jesse Love hasn't won at anything else, I will continue to say this statement, said it last February. Until RCR in the Xfinity Series shows us something else, obviously Austin Hill showed us some speed at the end of last year or whatever, making it to the championship four, but until you show us that you can win anywhere else, I'm not high on you. Until you can be consistent, like Austin Hill 2 years ago, where you could bet on him every week for a top five and they would give us 3 or 4 to 1. Everybody was on it every week. until you can show us that level of consistency, I'm not high on RCR. They can talk all they want about how good RCR is at these super speedways, and how good Austin Hill is. Obviously ends up fucking having vehicle problems, and that was probably from him being a bully the whole race and probably bust something. We don't know that for sure, but that's my theory. And that's not going to carry you through the playoffs. Jesse Love getting extremely lucky at Talladega. Like, good wins for a young man that likes to sleep in a lot. You've seen that on social media, him and Connor Zales going back. But if you could bet on Connor Zilich or Jesse Love from here on, not including super speedways, I mean, and we can't count road courses because we already know that Connor Zilich will probably go to COTA and smoke the field. Who would get a win on a mile and a half or a short track or anything like that first? I would be taking my money on Connor Zilich. RCR, I'm not saying Jesse Love doesn't have talent. He has a hell of a lot of talent, and it does take talent to win that race. He did have to fend off these guys, had to be really smart on the restarts and stuff as well, but I haven't seen it really anywhere else. And Connor Zilich in his part-time role last year in Junior Motorsports cars proved it right away. Mile and a half, getting top fives. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, like, we go, I wouldn't say like a Martinsville or a Bristol or anything like that, but when we go to like a Kansas at the beginning of May, you could see a Connor Zilich with the fall Kansas race, how well he was running there, and he's sort of the mile and a half. Limited last year, and he was riding in the top five, man. So keep an eye out on a Connor Zilich. Jesse Love and RCR, you still got to get your shit together, and you got to prove us that you can do something. Also, really excited for Sam Mayer and Sheldon Creed, and for all of us to make a lot of money on these guys this year. Sheldon Creed, for the love of God, get the monkey off your back. I will be taking some bets this weekend. Not much, obviously, because I will be down in the States, so I would have to go to a casino, and I'm not driving my ass and bringing a bunch of cash. So I will take a couple of bets, and you know, week in and week out, you will be having me betting on Sam Mayer as well as Sheldon Creed in the positional props and outright, and if we get beautiful numbers on those guys, I will be taking them. But really excited to see them race well. I did call it out on one of my videos on my X and Instagram, saying that I was really high on Sam Mayer. I mean, Sam Mayer has been there at the end in these super speedway races before and ends up getting crashed out. And what did I say? He ends up finishing, what, second or third? I think he ended up finishing second. So, I mean, I told you so. And I'm really excited for Sam Mayer to have a good car on these mile and a halves, because he's really good at mile and a halves. And we saw what Riley Herbst could do, for God's sakes, in these Haas cars in the Xfinity Series. So extremely excited for that, as well as Sheldon Creed and that 00, man. Keep an eye out for those mile and a halves and road courses and everywhere. Like, Sheldon Creed overall is a great driver on every single style of track. He just needs to get that monkey off his back, and he's going to start wringing out some wins. It's just a matter of time. So keep an eye out for him this weekend in Atlanta. I mean, we could get the choo-choo train like we had last time. But the fall race was pretty good for Xfinity, I'm not going to lie. So maybe we got a little bit of wear on the track from the weather and everything they've gotten. They've had snow down there as well. It might, and then they have that gritty sand that blows over, as Dale Jr. has talked about on his podcast before. Hopefully it's kind of worn into something rather than the Truck Series and Xfinity choo-choo train that we had last spring. You already know, I'll tell you now, whatever the longest odds are I can find on Sheldon Creed or Sam Mayer, which are probably going to be pretty short behind Austin Hill and Jesse Love because of their finishing positions at Daytona, I will be taking them because I usually when I'm live at these races, I'll take my favorite drivers, which usually my favorite drivers in whatever series it is are very good at most styles of tracks. I won't just give you picks that I don't believe in. And I'm not a fan of fucking scrubs like a Corey LaJoie or a Cody Ware or something. So when I go there, I will give you this Friday on the betting show, I will give you my insight of who I think is going to win. And I will also separate that with like who my favorite drivers are and who I will be putting money on live. I've been there a couple of times where Tyler Reddick has won and I didn't have money on him. Shouts out to Michigan. Shouts out to Homestead last year and as well as Talladega. Okay. Michigan had to be the worst one because I crossed the border and went, fuck. I was sitting in a drive-thru or in a parking lot at a fast food place and went, I got to put money on him. And I drove off and hit the border and fucking forgot. And doesn't he end up winning the race? That was a tough one. So, Sunday, I mean, everybody's kind of talked about it already. The end of that race was a little silly, man. I want to talk about in the Xfinity series is Brandon Jones. Let me tell you right now, when you get over to the Martinsville and the Bristols, definitely Martinsville, being in that 20 car, also there's news that Eric Almirola will have about 9 starts or something like that in the Xfinity series for Joe Gibbs. So I would assume to see him in the 19, if I'm not mistaken. Because the 20 is what Brandon Jones got. So he must have pumped a lot of money to be able to get that number 20. So expect Brandon Jones to be really good at Martinsville, really good at Richmond, because that's usually where he's really good. And to be honest, in my head, he's going to get that fucking monkey off his back at Martinsville because that's where the last time he should have won the race, last time he was in Joe Gibbs equipment. And I don't look too much at Atlanta and Daytona. It happens. He's already admitted he's not good at super speedways. Then we go into COTA where he's not good at road courses. So immediately after that, if a couple of other different drivers knock off wins, what I'm getting into here is his championship odds might drift out. Currently on one of the sports books out there, I saw 28-1. I think it might have been Bet365. I'm going to wait till somebody wins in Atlanta. If he wins, then obviously we're screwed. COTA, there ain't no way because you have Sam Mayer, you have, I don't think SVG's coming down, but you got AJ Allmendinger, you got Connor Zilich, Sheldon Creed. Lots of great drivers on road courses. So Brandon Jones, if he wins, it's a fucking long shot of all long shots. That would be the most insane shit. It would have to be everybody explodes and dies on the track. And Brandon Jones is the last one to win that race. So as long as we get through this weekend and he doesn't win, as well as COTA, and you get two different drivers winning the races, you might get a little bit of a 30-something to one for him to win the championship. And I'll be sprinkling on that. It's a Joe Gibbs car. It's Brandon Jones. And if you think about it, you have to look at the long-term schedule. Yeah, we'll have Talladega and other road courses as well. But Brandon Jones is no slouch when it comes to like mile and a halfs. Joe Gibbs cars are going to be really good on mile and a halfs, as well as when it comes to Martinsville. If he's in that position, he's in the round of 8. You look at his record when he was in a Joe Gibbs car at Martinsville. Expect him to be up there working it, trying to get that win. And if you have a 30-something to one early on in the year and he gets in that position and all of a sudden he's like at 50, 60 to 80 to one going into that race in a must-win situation, maybe you could sprinkle a little bit more. Or you just sit there and you go, I already got 30-something to one from early on in the year on a Joe Gibbs car. So keep that in mind. The Sunday, I don't have much to say other than Trump being there screwed a lot of people to getting into the race. I knew some people that weren't able to get in, and I think Skybox and a couple other guys ended up going home. I had a bunch of other friends that got in no problem. They did warn to get there super early because of that additional screening that you're going to have to do. And obviously some people either camp and they walked up, they were drinking till the last minute, or people had troubles getting into because of the traffic and everything. But the experience for say half those people or a quarter of those people were new fans, and it's their first Daytona 500, and that happens. Let me tell you, they ain't coming back. So we can't be having that. I understand that Trump has gotten shot and all this stuff, and he is the president and all this shit. But like, man, if that's gonna happen, honestly, stay away from the track, man. It just, we're trying to grow our sport, and let me tell you, you being there either hinders it or makes it better. And I'd rather you just not be there, because first off, you bring rain, but also, just the matter, like the matter of fact that we've got new fans probably showing up, and they ain't ever gonna want to go back again. So we'll keep it at that. I mean, the rest of the race, I mean, at the end of the fucking race, dog. Okay, well, we got the Joey Logano stuff, and I'll let Denny Hamlin talk about that on his podcast. I haven't listened to that since we had a holiday here today, so the time of recording this. So I'll listen to it on Tuesday when I'm at work. So I'll let Denny Hamlin discuss this stuff with Joey Logano and like the Kyle Busch. We all saw that Joey Logano and Ricky. I mean, it was inevitable. The shit that Corey LaJoie and Ricky Stenhouse were doing at the front of that, like, first off, thanks Corey LaJoie for having Bubba Wallace end up getting farther back, as well as a bunch of other drivers getting them screwed because your car doesn't have any sort of speed and you're dancing at the front, killing everybody's run. And we saw it with Ricky Stenhouse and Corey LaJoie just going at it and at it. And it was inevitable that there was a wreck coming. Joey Logano, being Joey Logano, can't take responsibility for his actions as well. I mean, everybody wasn't taking responsibility for their actions there. And I think it was just a silly, silly mistake. It wasn't a mistake. It was on fucking purpose, dude. Just kind of shoved your way in there. Kyle Busch obviously heated as well. Yeah, man. The rest of that race, I mean, a lot of people are complaining about the super speedways, man. I mean, shouts out to the Bulldozer, Cole Custer. And William Byron just being there in the right place at the right time, but you can't tell me. I said this on my social media that the Daytona 500 isn't very prestigious in my eyes. As being a lifelong fan, but being more hardcore into it for the last 8 or 9 years, I'd say 9 years now, I've never, like, I get pretty hyped up for the Daytona 500 just for the simple fact that, you know, it's the beginning of the season. I've never went like the Daytona 500, holy fucking shit, this is the real deal, baby. Any, like, the true solid drivers that are the most talented in the world are going to win this race and blow everybody's socks off. No, that's when you think about that and you have those words in a sentence, you think of the Coke 600. You think of the Southern 500. You think of big races like that. You don't think of the Daytona 500 anymore. It's a wreck fest. Anybody can win. I think it kind of set in stone with like Harrison Burton in the summer race or whatever. Anybody can win this race. We obviously already knew that, but then when that happens, you kind of go, "Bleh." Did it start with Trevor Bayh when he ended up winning the Daytona 500? You kind of going, "Bleh." So, yeah, man, I can't get behind the prestigious of Daytona. Like, I honestly don't care. And for a guy winning back-to-back, just having the most horseshoes stuck up his asshole and four-leaf clovers, like, winning back-to-back, literally doing nothing? Arguably, he probably did more last year, but, like, can somebody pull up the stats of how many laps he led? Maybe a handful? Maybe that last one? Like, it had to be less than 10 or 15. Had to be. I don't remember specifically seeing him up front leading a fuck ton of laps. It was either at the beginning of the race or getting closer to, like, the middle of the race. Because I honestly, there was so much going on, and with the rain delay and shit, I don't remember it. So, you did nothing. I think for everybody, it would have been just fun to see Tyler Reddick win, obviously, at the end of that. I wish Tyler Reddick could have got to him and just turned his ass. Would have made it more exciting. Obviously, the inconsistency of if we go to Atlanta this weekend and all of a sudden they're wrecking off of turn three or turn four or turn two, whatever, and they call a caution coming to the checkered flag, we're going to go, well, you last week you fucking let us race back to the green. Why can't we do it now? So it was just a disappointing end to the whole weekend. I mean, we had a lot of officiating problems. That's NASCAR, though. It's not as bad as the NFL, personally, I think. So there's not much we can do about it. I think I'm just really excited to get past Atlanta. Obviously, can't wait to see a bunch of you guys that listen to the podcast, as well as some people that follow me, whether they listen to the podcast or not, as well as my friends or whatever. They're going to be at the race. I'm excited to be down there and see a bunch of you guys. If you guys do see me, don't hesitate to DM, or if you guys are going to be down there, DM me. I'll be there probably. I'm not sure if we're camping or we're just going to drive down from just north of Atlanta. I'm not sure what we're doing. It's going to be cold as shit. Shouts out to the people that knew that I was Canadian. When I posted the temperatures that it was in Celsius, shouts out Harris Lou. Because a lot of you thought that was Fahrenheit, and like when you saw -8 at night, they're like, God damn, or 12 degrees, like, God damn. It's Celsius. But as far as I know, it's either going to be camping in a fifth wheeler or driving down every single day. So that's fine. If you guys see me there, I'm just happy to be able to get past through Atlanta, enjoy the time with every single one of you guys, as well as my friends. And experience a great NASCAR race as well again. And Atlanta is great to watch live, as well as Daytona and stuff as well too. But the nonsense going on in the betting aspect of it, you can't really bet on it. And then we're gonna go to COTA, and it's gonna be killed at that. Obviously, I will have an Alex Bowman bet for top 5 and top 10s and stuff, as well as Chris Buescher at COTA because they're so good there. But little sneak peek for a couple weeks down the road. But then when we get into Phoenix or no. Oh no. So we go Atlanta, then Phoenix. Oh my God. Then we go to COTA. So the COTA is when the real racing starts. My bad. Phoenix will be boring as shit. So we still have another 3 weeks till we get like really good racing, 4 weeks till we get really good racing. So, yeah, a little sad to be honest. They got to switch up the schedule next year, man. Put Atlanta more into like March, middle of March. Give us a couple of weeks of racing. I understand we don't have like that West Coast swing like we used to. But put Phoenix. Where else could you go? Swing some Texas back up in the earlier of the year. Then you go down to COTA. Then go to then you could go to Atlanta, and then you're back on the East Coast. I mean, I ain't just making schedules out here, dog. And then we're back in this area again, back in the North Carolinas, the Carolinas. So then go up to Martinsville, do all your shit, Richmond, whatever. But then do that little swing, move Texas up early on in the year. I don't mind that. Get it out of the way because we all fucking hate it. But yeah, man, I think that's been a solid podcast. So probably Wednesday morning, as long as my brother has the Tuesday off because of all the snow. Shouts out for us literally in Ontario getting 2-3 feet of snow since Wednesday. This is the most snow I've seen in a couple of years now. Shout out to everybody that was down in Florida sweating your booty cheeks off, drinking, having a good time. We were freezing our tootsies off up here. But yeah, he might be on the podcast Wednesday morning. And you guys are going to love that one. I've been so excited to have him on. And then obviously the Friday morning betting show. So make sure to listen to the Hot Pass podcast Tuesdays and Fridays at 5 a.m. Eastern every single week of the NASCAR season. We have the Tuesday recap shows as well as interviews. Still working on the Justin Allgaier one. I'll be talking to him this coming weekend to be able to try and set that up now that all this Daytona stuff is out of the way. And then always the Friday Morning Betting Show, man. The trucks and Xfinity picks are always exclusive to the Friday Morning Betting Show. And then you guys can go to the link tree in the bio where you find me at Furlong Eric underscore underscore. That is FURLONGERIC underscore underscore on X, Instagram, and TikTok. You can go to the link tree in the bio there and go to my Action Network to see all my cup plays, early plays from the week, as well as just before the races. If you follow me there on the Action Network, it's all free. Go to the app, hashtag not a sponsor. You can get notifications every time I place a bet on the Cup Series or any sport, really, other than Xfinity and trucks. I always post my full betting card for the trucks and Xfinity about 30 minutes before the races. And yeah, go to the Hot Pass Podcast on YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe. We're going to actually just ordered a big boy couch. It's a little over $2,000 for this couch. It's going to show up in a week or so, and we'll start slowly getting this set up. I hope to have the setup ready to go in the next 3 weeks or so. So then we'll be back up on YouTube. So make sure to like, share, and subscribe on there, and then leave a 5-star rating on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Okay? Don't forget it. That's been a podcast. The Hot Pass Podcast. Talk to you guys later. Have a good week. See ya. Peace.